Lamentations chapter 3. Common text, verse 22, verse 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. For many years, I have asked the question, how do you eat an elephant? And of course, the answer is one bite at a time. Now, I've used this query to encourage God's people who are experiencing troublesome times. The lesson being, when you encounter big issues, don't become overwhelmed, but just take one bite at a time. Place one foot in front of the other, and eventually you will finish the race. Perhaps we don't know what the future holds, but we must face it one day at a time. It is my objective to extend encouragement to you by reminding you that all of your days of your life will just come at one day at a time. So I'd like to speak to you a message by way of encouragement, the Lord willing. The title is Day by Day. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, and Lord, the opportunity to fellowship with your people, and Lord, what a joy and a privilege it has been. We pray that you would just bless. And now as your word goes out once again, thank you for what we've heard and the many blessings we've received. Thank you for this opportunity to share again. And we pray that you would bless the services as they continue tomorrow. Lord, just reach down and wrap your loving arms around this church as you've always done, and continue to encourage them and embrace them, strengthen them, use them for your name's sake, as well as all the churches represented in your churches all around the world. Lord, we just thank you for this privilege. We love you. We do honor you. We do praise you. Yet we recognize that we fall short has already been presented to us, and we've been reminded so aptly. And Lord, it's a necessary reminder. Lord, forgive us where we do come short against you, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Draw us unto you. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. Again, we pray that you would convict them and draw them and grant them repentance and faith. Lord, we just commit this time to you today. May we find great encouragement by it. For as we look around our society, and we know there is much that can be troubling to us, and Lord, we know that there are just pains and heartaches across this world, and no doubt among this congregation. And so we ask that you would meet these needs. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Day by day. The text I have chosen was written by the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. He lived in the latter days of the kings of Judah. He prophesied concerning the coming judgment. He witnessed the attacks of the Babylonian army and personally experienced the fall of Jerusalem. This short book is called The Lamentations of Jeremiah, and it details for us this saintly prophet's lament over the destruction of his beloved city. But he also laments some of the troubles and trials which he has endured. Within this third chapter, he recognizes God's chastening hand. Look at verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. And so he feels as if God had boxed him in, and he would not hear his cry. Look at it in verse 7. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Now, Jeremiah has gotten to the place where he believed that nothing good could happen. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever sensed and felt the way that Jeremiah feels as he writes? Well, pick it up in verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul afar off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And for him all hope seems to disappear. Look at verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. But then, despite all of the bad things, and something comes to his mind which offers a glimmer of hope. Verse 21. This I recall to mind, and therefore have I hope. And what is it that stirred his heart? Wherein would he find any sort of confidence in the midst of all of his misery? Well, the truth of our text is a reminder of his God, Jehovah. And that, despite all appearances, God is merciful and gracious and a loving God. And God, although he brings chastisement, will also show his compassion. Skip down to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Besides, as Jeremiah calls to mind, we bring the majority of our troubles upon ourselves. Verse 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Therefore, my friend, let us repent and turn back to God. Verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. You get the idea. May we find encouragement in this same place that Jeremiah did. May our text, verse 22, verse 23, may our text yield great hope in the midst of our sorrows. And may we learn that God's help comes day by day. The first thing I would like to bring to your attention or in my outline is the thoughts concerning the text. First of all, you'll notice it says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies, and it talks about His compassions. Notice these mercies that we are concerned with are the divine mercies. The word mercies in the text means favor. It is a word for kindness. It is a good deed, that which is mercy, that which is pity. And it says it is of the Lord's mercies. And I'll tell you, we need mercy. And we need the mercy of God. And Jeremiah speaks of the Lord's mercies. But then he talks about His compassions. And this word, by implication, means to love, but it is to have compassion. It is to show mercy. It is to have pity. And when I look into this passage and I think about all the things that may come upon us, and we look around at our society and we see the news, and boy, that can be very distressing, can it? And we hear about this person suffering this trouble, and it might be a family member or a friend or a church member, but burdens and troubles and trials are all around us. And the burdens can be very heavy. We need God's mercies. Amen. And He says it is of the Lord's mercies and it's His compassions. And three quick things we derive from this fact that they are divine mercies is they come from God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting help from other people. Nothing wrong with encouragement and strength. But I'll tell you what we really need is God's mercy. He is the one we must turn to. These mercies, if we're going to have them, must come from God. And therefore, secondly, they are not deserved. We do not deserve God's mercy. We've heard it over and over again in this last night and through today. We don't deserve anything. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath. We deserve the penalty of God upon us. Why? Because, well, we're so sinful. And I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful for His mercy. And when I think about the Lord's mercies, they come from Him. I certainly don't deserve them, and I do not earn them. And we've heard that about religion, and well, we think we can do this. And you know, a lot of people go to church because it just makes them feel better and makes their week better. They think that if they go to church that, well, they will earn God's mercies for the week. It doesn't happen that way. God's mercies are mercies. They're unmerited favors. And so we cannot earn them. We cannot deserve them. They simply come from God. And I think all of us can recognize that we need God's mercy. The second thing I would point out to you about this text is that these mercies are provided daily. It says that they are new every morning. And so the mercies of God, we need them day by day. Over in Psalm 68, I'm going to read verse 19 to you. You're certainly welcome to turn over there. But Psalm 68 and verse 19, the Scripture says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah, stop, think upon this. It's a musical rest. God daily loads us with benefits. When verse 23 of our passage, it says they are new every morning. So these things are provided. That word new means exactly that. It means fresh. It's a new thing. And so four things come out from this from my perspective. I think of God's mercies and I recognize that they're provided daily. And the first item is, well, it's fresh. It's new. It's not stale. They're not left over from yesterday or for last week. It's not on the clearance rack at Kroger's. These are new. God's mercies are fresh. And secondly, they are renewable every morning. All the mercy we need for any day comes every day, every morning. They're always new and it's renewable. No matter how much mercy that God may bestow upon me today, do you know how much I'll have tomorrow? As much as God will bestow upon me tomorrow.
Amen.
God's mercies are abundant, my friend. They are fresh. They are renewable. Thirdly, I believe they are given as the day begins. It says they are new every morning. Now, I recognize that some mornings start earlier than others. Just depends when you get up. But aren't you glad that whenever God gives you life and you wake up that next day, tomorrow you'll have all the mercy that you'll need found in Jesus Christ. Because as the day begins, God gives and provides for us everything that we need for that day. They are new every morning. And you might be thinking, well, I can use them up by the end of the day. No, you cannot. You cannot. And so then fourthly, I would submit unto you, they are new every morning. Why is that? Why are they provided daily? Because it's necessary to have God's grace. Because the truth of the matter is, negativity, it ensues every day. Evil will come today. And evil will come tomorrow. Sin will abound. There will be troubles. There will be heartaches. These things come every day, so we need God's graces every day. And so we see their divine mercies, and they are provided daily. Look back into the text. These mercies never run out. The last part of verse 22, it says, because His compassions fail not. They never run out. Why? Because God is the resource. And since God is the resource and He never gives out, we will always have the mercies that we need. He has promised that to us. The word failed means, in the Hebrew, it means to make an end of. And so it's in the negative. It will not fail. And so it will not be ceasing. It will not be consumed away. They will not be destroyed. They will not be finished. They will not be used up. It's not like a battery that you can drain down. God's mercies, they do not come up short because His compassions fail not.
Amen.
What an encouragement that is. And then if you'll look at the latter part of verse 23, we also find from this passage that their source is dependable. These divine mercies, well, we know where they come from. And it says in the latter part of there in verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. And we sing songs about that. Great is thy faithfulness. The word great means that. It means to abound. It is to have enough or to be full. It is to increase or to multiply. Plenteous. That's the word. Great is thy faithfulness. And of course, that word faithfulness means that it is the stability, that which is steady. It offers security. It can be translated as faith or faithful or faithfully or faithfulness. Well, you know the word. And so I find that these mercies that I need, the mercies that you need, will come every day. They come from God and they will continually to be there. And I don't have any fear of them ever running out because great is thy faithfulness. God is our source, and that source is absolutely dependable. It's a very simple passage, isn't it? And so we see just a few of these thoughts concerning the text. The second part of my message then is to offer some reflections after the text. Our text is verse 22 and verse 23, but we want to look into verse 24 through verse 26. First of all, notice that Jeremiah looks to God. The Lord is my portion. Now, bear in mind when I gave you the introduction, all the heartache, all the pain, all the perspective that he had. God shut me in. I have no hope, and there's nowhere to turn. But now, he has a different outlook, and he says, the Lord is my portion. So he looks to God. That word portion means an allotment. It is an inheritance, a part or a portion. And so God is my inheritance, it could be translated. Psalm 16 verse 5 says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. I am His and He is mine. The Lord is my portion. Amen. We have great encouragement in 22 and 23. And so we find him looking to God in the first part of verse 24. So I submit unto you, when you look into the passage, although he had no hope, we read that in verse 18. He remembered his hope. We read that in verse 21. And now this truth has given him hope. Look at the latter part of verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. He didn't have any, but he does now.
Amen.
He does now. And I encourage you, my dear friend, we must look to God. He alone is our hope. It's not the government, surely. It is God. And we must depend upon Him. Jeremiah did. Look into verse 25, the first part of the verse. Like Jeremiah, we must wait. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. My biggest problem is I like to get in a hurry. We're a fast food, 15-second commercial society. One of my biggest problems is patience. We want it done and we want it now. You heard that guy pray, God, please give me patience and give it to me now. And it's just a matter of we don't know how to wait. And Jeremiah says, Lord, you're my portion. I'm going to hope in you. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Sometimes we just get in too much of a hurry. And we get ahead of God. And like Jeremiah, we must learn to wait. And I know that when you're in the midst of the deepest, darkest valley of your life, when the doctor has said it is this and it's inoperable, or the financial counselor has said, you're beyond hope, you have to file chapter 13. Or whatever it might be, you look at, turn on the news and you look at the newspapers and you hear about the political scene and you hear about the social scene and you hear about the civical things that are going on, you know, and all the crime that's rampant. And come to Memphis if you want to see all that. You can get really discouraged really quickly. We have to learn to wait. And it's not easy, especially when you're hurting, when you're up all night racked in pain, and you're just praying that the painkiller would kick in. It's tough. It's tough. But God says, wait. Wait upon Him. And you'll notice in verse 25, the last part of the verse, not only must we wait upon Him, we must seek Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. And we've heard that over and over and over again in the messages. We must turn to the Lord. We must seek after God. He is indeed our resource. And that's absolutely what we find in this passage by Jeremiah. He bewails the destruction of Jerusalem, but he bewails all those personal things he's going through. And he just needs help. And although it seems so desperate, he found his hope in God. And his help in God. And he said, I'm going to wait upon Him. And I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to seek after my God. And so if you look at verse 26, you'll find that it's good for us to do so. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's almost as if Jeremiah gives a summary here. I mean, really, that's what we found in 24 and 25. And he just says, well, you know, it's just a good thing. It's good for you if you would hope and quietly wait. And so we have this encouragement for us. Are you hurting today? Things seem to be overwhelming to you. Perhaps you're in the darkest valley of your life. You have this great big elephant before you. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? I believe we can learn from Jeremiah. And we can find encouragement from Jeremiah. So I've offered you some thoughts from the text. I offer you some reflections after the text. Let me then give you some encouragement beyond the text. By the providence of God, last night the couple ladies sang the song Day by Day. Think of these words. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. I believe the psalm writer knew what Jeremiah had written here. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take us from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Do you find encouragement from that song? Amen. I pray that you will. You could almost say that Jeremiah wrote that song. Well, he certainly had the thoughts of Jeremiah. I would offer unto you lastly, lesson from the text is simple. Live day by day. It's tough, but that's the lesson. And you thought, wow, that was quick. We're finished. No, not quite. Almost. One of the keys to an afternoon service is brevity. I'm just joshing about that. But this matter of living day by day, do you know the Scripture addresses some points about living day by day? And I'm going to offer them to you. Number one, live daily. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We have to live daily. We have enough on our plate today, let alone to be worried about tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Take no thought for the morrow. I don't believe it's the concept that you can't plan or you can't have any kind of perspective and goals or anything like that. You tack on to this James thought about we're going to go tomorrow and do this or that. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's the key behind it. But what I find is there's a tendency to, when he says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, the tendency is to worry about tomorrow. I mean, you plan to have service tomorrow, don't you? There's nothing wrong with a plan. You have the schedule timed out and you know what time to be here. Nothing wrong with tomorrow. But are you all worried and upset about that and fretting over that? Don't do so. Live daily. Live daily. Number two, die daily. Paul makes a very quick statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He says, I die daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 carries this idea where we ought to take up our cross daily. The cross, by the way, is a method of execution. It's a means of death. And he says in the text, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It is incumbent upon the children of God to seek God every day for the grace that he needs every day and say, God, here am I, slay me today. I die daily. I must take up my cross every day. It's not about me. It's all about you. And that's what we need to be doing. When? Every day. Well, I might not do it tomorrow. Well, don't worry about tomorrow. You just be concerned about today. Live today. Die today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, Matthew 6:11 reminds us that we ought to pray daily. Just in that model prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And I submit unto you, if you're going to be asking for your daily bread, you need to be speaking daily. And that's the best time to do it is in the morning. There's all kinds of time you can pray. You can pray in the morning or late morning or mid-morning or afternoons or evenings. And you find evidences in the scriptures where they prayed all day long and all the time. You know, morning, evening, afternoon. Morning's good because at the end of the day, it's kind of late to be asking for your food for what you've already missed today. So you want to, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So you can pray daily. We want to pray daily. We need to pray daily. We need to seek our Heavenly Father's face every day. Did you do that today? Did you seek your Father's face today? I pray that you have. Number four, flee to God daily. Psalm 86:3 says, be merciful unto me, O Lord. I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 88:9, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Flee to God daily. I encourage you, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your care upon him because he cares for you. I'm absolutely confident you're a whole lot similar to the church I pastor. There are heartaches and burdens and pressures on all sides. And I'll be contacted by the membership. Please pray for me. I'm going to the doctor. Please pray for me. I'm going to have surgery and I'm recovering from surgery. And sometimes I'll get a text or a phone call every day from the same person. That's fine. I don't mind. That's part of a pastor's job to do all that we can to encourage and to pray with. But you know what you need to be doing is fleeing to God every day. Flee to God like that. I pray that they're not fleeing to me in the place of God because they're going to come up way short in me. But they will not come up short in God. Amen. Amen. Call your pastor if you need to. Even in 3 in the morning, he'll answer the phone. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay, okay. Of course, you are getting older. You may not be able to hear it. But okay. Yeah, that's fine, but call on to God. Flee to God daily. And number five, seek wisdom daily. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Wisdom personified speaking, they watch daily at my gates. I'll tell you, we need wisdom. That's one of the things when I look around our society, I just see a whole, a big vacuum of wisdom. Are you kidding me? What kind of sense is that? That's no sense.
That's right.
And it's nonsense.
Amen.
Where did you come up with that?
Right.
Don't you have any concept, any wisdom at all? We need wisdom every day. And may God grant us that wisdom. Because we have to face our trials every day. And we need to respond well. Where are we at? Number six? Exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's all right to encourage one another, to help one another. And we can do that daily. We're told to do that daily.
Amen.
And so exhort one another daily. Number seven, be in accord and fellowship or in fellowship daily. Acts 2:46 gave us this example. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Continuing daily. And I realize you're going to meet on Wednesday night and you'll meet on Sundays and, well, you meet special meetings and you came last night and you came today and we really appreciate the effort. It's hard to do this. I know you're weary. Hang in there. We're just about through. You can go home and rest and be ready for tomorrow. But it's good to do that daily. Be in fellowship daily. And so, you know, even though you may not be gathering together on a specific day, isn't it good to just fellowship, just to pick up the phone and call somebody or go by the house or just have fellowship with God's people? What an encouragement that is. And we're told to do that, that they did that daily. And I think that's a good thing to do, have fellowship with God's people day by day. But again, as we come to the end, again, never give up hope. Dear Christian, look to God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ who loves you, and look to the Father who loves you as much as He loves His own Son. I've never been able to comprehend that statement. The fact that God loves me as much as He loves His own Son. That blows my mind. But I know that as a child of God, there isn't anything that can come upon me, but God knows. And we already know Romans 8:28. But His mercies will never fail. They're new every morning. God's grace is great as His faithfulness. His compassions do not fail. And so, dear Christian, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And you've got this great big elephant out there. And you say, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Just one bite at a time. One step at a time. And turn to God for your help and for your hope. And let me say a word to you that are lost. God is your only hope for salvation. There is none other. There is no other God. There is no other goddess. The true God of heaven and earth and His Son Jesus Christ who died for sinners. He is the only way. He said that and it's true. Neither is there salvation in any others, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come unto the Father but by me. Boy, we as Christians need hope. You that are lost, you really need hope. Amen. And you need the hope of salvation first and foremost. And do you not marvel when you see the world go through all their heartache? I think, how in the world do they do that? Without Jesus Christ. How do they do that without God? And somehow they kind of make it through from a worldly standpoint. But boy, you're outside of Christ. You need Him. And I point you to Jesus. He is who you need. Will you be saved today? So never give up hope. And of course, what must you do? What's the message? Live day by day. And you'll see a great difference. We have a song in our songbook. It may or may not be in yours. You have some I've never heard before. I like them. I just never heard of them before. But the song in our songbook is All Your Anxiety. And I close by giving you the words. Is there a heart, O bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer, heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. The chorus says, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. And Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Day by day.